Radio Daily. You know, halfway day. Whatever. Some folks had Monday off, so for you it's not halfway day, or is it still? I don't know how that works. I'm not good with math. I try to carry the one, but it's so damn heavy. Ugh. Crazy. Welcome to the 24th of April. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You should look at the bell when you smack at it. You should really, really look at it. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. The folks that are bringing it to you today were right there. The man, the myth, the legend. That is podcasting Chris Siegfried.
That's not a bad idea. I'll tell you. I'll consult my lawyer. And if he advises me to do it, I'll get a new lawyer.
It's a good way of looking at things. Hi there. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
I wouldn't be in your shoes if the sweet Lord Jesus come down and asked me himself.
James is dead. Damn, damn, damn. What happened this fine day, sir?
Well, in 1184 BCE, Greek forces penetrate Troy using the infamous Trojan horse.
1061, Halley's Comet appears over England, heralding an invasion. Amongst sights, and predicts the destruction of the country. The Martians are coming.
Turns out it was just Haley Mills. 1704, the first regular newspaper in the United States, the Newsletter, is first published in Boston.
Wonder what an irregular newspaper. 1800, the United States Library of Congress is established when President John Adams signs legislation to approve $5,000 to purchase, quote, such books as may be necessary for the use of Congress.
I would think an irregular newspaper would be anyone that would have life in hell.
Nice.
1877, Charles F. Brush is issued a patent for his first dynamo.
1888, the Eastman Kodak Company is founded by George Eastman.
1925, Charles Darwin's theory of evolution is taught in Dayton, Tennessee by John Scopes, who used the high school textbook A Civic Biology, presented in Problems by George William Hunter. Scopes, age 24, will be prosecuted under the Butler Act, a state law enacted March 21, 1925, the law prohibiting the teaching of evolution in public schools due to the heavy separation of church and state.
1955, the half-hour science fiction radio series X-1 premieres on NBC Radio.
1962, MIT achieves the first transcontinental satellite relay of a television signal with the transmission between Camp Parks, California and Westford, Massachusetts.
1967, cosmonaut Vladimir Komarov dives in Soyuz 1 when the capsule's parachute fails to open, becoming the first human to die during a space mission, and then years later some jackass will laugh at his name.
1970, the first Chinese satellite, Dongfang Hong 1, is launched.
Number one super guy. 1978, Fortune magazine publishes an article on Computerland, the first retail store fully devoted to computers.
Man, but they have cool rides there. 1985, the first internet domains are registered, including bpn.com, berkeley.edu, cmu.edu, purdue.edu, rice.edu, rutgers.edu, and ucla.edu.
1990, the Space Shuttle Discovery is launched from Cape Canaveral, Florida, carrying the Hubble Space Telescope to be placed into orbit.
1996, Nolan Bushnell, founder of both Atari and the Chuck E. Cheese's Pizza Time Theaters chain, announces plans to start a venture to sell wholesome coin-operated video games to restaurants and other businesses through a company called Aristo. Bushnell, who is credited as the inventor of the first commercial video game, Pong, plans to finance the project by selling his private company, Vistar, to Aristo.
2001, a U.S. robotic spy plane completes the first unmanned trans-Pacific flight between California and Australia.
2002, the American television channel G4 is launched.
Come back, Morgan Webb! Come back!
Yeah.
2005, Snuppy, the world's first cloned dog, is born in South Korea. Keep your bad jokes to yourself.
2007, astronomers announced the discovery of an Earth-like exoplanet, Gliese 581c, which may support liquid water and is potentially habitable.
2009, scientists report in an article published in the journal Science that the genome of domestic cattle has been successfully sequenced. Hot damn! Now on to the other stuff. Birthdays?
Joe Keery, 27, Steve on Stranger Things.
Rory McCann is 50 from Hot Fuzz, Clash of the Titans, The Hound on Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's right. I forget he was in Hot Fuzz. Aidan Gillen, 51, Shanghai Knights, Dark Knight Rises, Jansen in Maze Runner, Game of Thrones, and Project Blue Book.
Digimon Hansu is 55 from Stargate, Deep Rising, which is such a guilty pleasure, Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life, Aragon, Guardians of the Galaxy, Captain Marvel, and Shazam, which is kind of funny to me still to say that.
Wow, he kind of crossed the aisles there. Good for him. Cedric the Entertainer, 55, from Barbershop, Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events, Madagascar, and The Neighborhood.
Michael O'Keefe is 64, from The Great Santini, Caddyshack, Nathan Hayes, Roseanne, Masters of Sex, and blink and you'll miss it, Sleepy Hollow.
Eric Bogosian, 66, from The Stuff, Talk Radio, Charlie's Angels, Full Throttle, Blade Trinity, Law & Order, Criminal Intent, and Billions.
Shirley MacLaine is 85 years of age from The Trouble with Harry, Being There, Cannonball Run 2, and Guarding Tess. Forget your terms of endearment.
Richard Donner, 89, directed The Omen, Superman the Movie, Goonies, Lethal Weapon, Maverick. Look, he gave us a lot of amazing things, and only some of them needed to have director's cuts.
Exactly. 1743, Edmund Cartwright invented the power loom. Those old school looms? Hell nah. The power loom, which Angelina Jolie and James McAvoy were very grateful for.
And in 1880, Gideon Sunback. Anybody who's had to run to the bathroom in a hurry definitely need to thank him, because he developed the zipper. On TV on CBS, we've got a new Survivor, Amazing Race, and SEAL Team.
Over on ABC, it's a rerun of Goldberg's Schooled, Modern Family, Single Parents, and then Frankie must prove herself as a leader when Will is captured during a mission to pursue an international organ harvesting operation on a new Whiskey Cavalier.
That show is so much fun. NBC, The Chai Try, with your meds, your fireds, and your pizzes.
Over on Fox, it's a new Empire and Star, episode 48, I believe.
CW, Jughead, Gladys, and FP follow mysterious clues in an attempt to find Jellybean after she disappears on a new Riverdale, and a new Jane the Virgin.
There's so many fun names in that show. Freeform, when Allison brings Mona into an investigation of Taylor, Mona makes a surprising discovery on Pretty Little Liars, The Perfectionists.
FX, when Laszlo is captured in bat form by the Staten Island Animal Control, he must be rescued by the other vampires on a new What We Do in Shadows play.
FXX has Hidden Figures. Both of those were questions and trivia last night. That's crazy.
And also, following the true historical nature of films, we have FXM, The Purge Election Year.
IFC has Banned for Life on a new Brockmire.
BBC America has Mrs. Doubtfire, dear.
Paramount has Dirty Grandpa, because, you know, contractual obligations.
Siffy has the new The Magicians, and Sax consumes jelly and trips out on Haley's birthday on a new Happy.
Turner Classic Movies is showing the fantastically wonderful Cary Grant in North by Northwest.
TNT has Basketball.
Oh, boy. VH1, runner-up for Mother Teresa number 2 on a new Black Ink crew, but we're going to be watching the Hallmark Channel, because the public relations novice gets her big chance when she's chosen to restore the reputation of Prince Colin of Edgemere, a member of the British royal family with a bad boy image, who has been arrested for defacing, not defecating like I first saw, a landmark in a small Idaho town. Taylor Cole, Lauren Holly, and Marina Sirtis star in My Summer Prince.
The wonderful Billy Flynn takes a look at what happens when Salem's favorite couple takes off. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. A network focus group sends a scare through the company that the big ratings of Stefan and Chad's first show might have been a one-time thing. Chloe gets jealous of Stefan having spent the night with Gabby so quick after they broke up. She's all like, "You trying to rub that in my face?" And he's like, "Could I please?" Gabby is disappointed by the focus group's score for her bit, so Stefan makes a deal with her to make it a hit. Stefan trying to do something nice for somebody? Could this be more weird? Maybe they can walk and talk about it. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
And that's all right. Whenever you get around to it, we'll be here. That's right, we're that creepy person in the corner that just hopes someone will eventually dance with them before the party ends.
Oh, I want to dance with somebody. I want to feel the heat with somebody.
With somebody who blahs me. Blah. Drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. That's right. We are never, ever going to get tired of blah. You can come up to us at any point in time at a convention. Just walk up to us and go, blah, and watch us giggle like a bunch of schoolgirls. It's fantastic. You can even do it in a voicemail. Just dial the number.
510-GRD-CROW.
I want to blah with somebody.
Murder.
Do you have anything to say on why you should not die according to the law?
Mysteries.
A dreadful accident has happened at Flannan's. The three keepers, Duckett, Marshall, and the occasional have disappeared from the island.
Join us at the Hidden Staircase podcast, where every 2 weeks I will bring you stories and cases you've probably never heard. You can find us on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to lock your doors and hold tight to your flashlight.
Hi, this is for a Geek Radio Daily. Sweep the Leg from Marty Sensei Cove.
Man, I cannot wait for the new season Cobra Kai. Right? Oh, man.
What's Johnny going to say to him? Oh, my God. I cannot. Oh, it's insane. It's just insane.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Serious? Whatevers. There's stuff out today. What's available, sir?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised, actually, that they don't have a Cobra Kai comic.
Right?
Seems like that would, right? Yeah. Well, from DC Comics, we've got Action Comics 1010, Doomsday Clock number 6 of 12, Freedom Fighters 5 of 12, On the Road in a Food Truck Full of Mayonnaise, with the amazing H-Dial that gifts the user with a new superpower every time they place a call, teenage runaways Miguel and Summer come under attack by others who crave the power the dial offers, with cryptic calls from the Phone Zone, and no one to turn to for help, the adolescent adventurers come to a breaking point where they either must work together or lose more than just the dial. In Dial H for Hero, 2 of 6.
Over at Marvel, Hulkverines wraps up its 3. Spider-Man Far From Home Prelude is wrapping up with 2. Thanos, 1 of 6, kicks off. But then, Black Spire Outpost has long been frequented by smugglers, merchants, and travelers from every corner of the galaxy looking to make their score on the infamous black market or experience the exotic thrills that only the remote world of Batuu has to offer. Beings like the infamous Doc Ondor, a proprietor of rare and one-of-a-kind antiquities, thrive on the unique opportunities which abound on the lawless outpost at the very edge of wild space. But the evil First Order has to come to Batuu, and the survival of the entire outpost is at stake. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, number 1.
I'm a big fan of Erica Batuu. From Boom Studios, we've got Firefly, number 5, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, number 38, Steven Universe, number 27. From Dynamite Entertainment, we've got Crackdown, number 2, Turok, number 3, and What Lies Beyond Our World? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? When a young man finds himself on the wrong side of life, he encounters death itself and is set on a quest to seek out his errant demon offspring in an attempt to make his way back to the world of the living. But there is much peril along the way, and the only ones who can help him are Kiss. In Kiss, the End, number 1, or The Retirement Tour, number 147.
Sounds kind of nasty. From Archie Comics, Jughead the Hunger versus Vampironica, number 1, in Riverdale Season 2. At IDW Publishing, Dick Tracy, forever! Punk's Not Dead, London Calling, number 3. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, 93. And then, the crew of the USS Enterprise left Earth 4 years ago. They've traveled to strange new worlds, defeated impossible foes, made universe-changing decisions, but now, with the end in sight, they'll have to face their biggest challenge yet. Step aboard the Enterprise with Kirk, Spock, Bones, Uhura, Sulu, Scotty, Chekhov as they begin the end of their original 5-year mission and boldly go into an uncertain future in Star Trek Year 5, number 1.
From Dark Horse, we've got Bad Luck Chuck, number 204, Fight Club 3, number 4, StarCraft Soldiers, 4 of 4, wrapping it up. From Valiant, we've got Bloodshot Rising Spirit, number 6, Forgotten Queen, number 3, and a hard-living voodoo priestess who grew up in London, then relocated to the Bayou. Now, she's a mystical mercenary for hire. In her first-ever solo series, Punk Mambo investigates a series of abductions in the New Orleans gutter punk scene, stumbling upon a deadly mystery then takes her to the haunted shores of Haiti in Punk Mambo. Not quite number 5, number 1.
From Oni Press, Invader Zim, number 42, Rick and Morty, number 49. From Image Comics, Man Eaters, number 8, Realm, number 13, and Sharky the Bounty Hunter, number 3 of 6. Then Mia spends her days exploring the lonely wilds of the planet Samson and trying to stay out of the clutches of the evil disciples of the all-powerful vampire witch known only as Mother. But like her parents, Mia doesn't like to play by the rules, and when a certain robot pal of her dad shows up, nothing will ever be the same.
Nut Mother?
In Ascender, number 1.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. HBO is developing a space tourism comedy series called Avenue 5, which hails from Veep, The Thick of It, and The Death of Stalin creator Armando Iannucci.
Wait. It isn't a sequel to Avenue Q? Aww.
Now, set 40 years in the future when the solar system is the new destination for tourists and their dollars, and so I'm expecting some Firefly nods, the series stars Hugh Laurie as the captain of a space cruise ship, Josh Gad, Zach Woods, Nikki Amuka, Rebecca Font, Lenora Krishlow, Susie Nakamura, and Ethan Phillips, all co-starring. And we have to speculate that something goes horribly wrong and hilarity ensues.
Oh, yeah. Otherwise, this is Love Boat. in space.
Which makes you wonder why they did not just make a Starship Titanic series in the first place, or give us another season of Outer Space.
Or Hyperdrive.
Right? Till then, we will find our laughs here on Avenue 5, where the internet is still for porn.
Internet is for porn!
Yeah. Captain Marvel has made more than $1 billion worldwide, and one guy has helped more than any other, contributing more to the box office take than anyone else in the world.
Nimraps? Comic book guy?
Nope. Steve Ruppel of Wisconsin. He has set a Guinness World Record by seeing Brie Larson's superhero drama 104 times at the Marcus Cedar Creek Cinema in Rothschild, and then went back 12 more times for good measure.
Wait, so that's 116? Come on, dude, 500 more and you match the universe.
I thought it was the most insane thing ever. I thought it was impossible, Ruppel said of his feat. I wasn't even sure why it was even a record, but I thought after a while I should probably do that. Now, if you're wondering whether he has a job, the answer is yes. If you're wondering whether spending 242 hours in a movie theater over the last month or so made that job difficult, the answer is also yes. The amount of time that it takes, I've had to take time off work. I would take long lunch breaks to accommodate watching an entire movie in that particular time frame.
I once saw a movie on a lunch break, but it was Mortal Kombat Annihilation, so I skipped all the boring parts and it was only 7 minutes long.
Guinness didn't just take his word for it. To be official, I have to have certain pictures taken, like in front of a movie poster, and I need to have two written witness statements saying that I was actually there, he said. So I'm trying to think, if anybody wanted to break this, I really don't want to re-break it, because this has been pretty tough. It's been a finite amount of time, but I don't think I'm going to try this one again.
I need to ask them about my number of Rocky views.
Captain Marvel is no longer playing at Ruppel's preferred movie theater, meaning his record is likely to stand at 116 viewings. The highly anticipated Avengers Endgame arrives in theaters next week, however, meaning he could possibly beat his record, though at 3 hours long, that film will be even more difficult to see multiple times. Hell, the Watcher can't even handle that.
In late December, the Chinese government ended a 9-month freeze on approving new video games after a major government reorganization shifted the approval process to the propaganda-focused State Administration of Press and Publication. The new requirements are out just in time to spoil Mortal Kombat 11.
Government bureaucratality.
Because China has a population of over 1.4 billion people, making a game available in the country can be an obvious boost to your profit margin, or would have if you did not make a game in one of the three new forbidden genres. Gambling titles like Mahjong, poker, games that deal with the country's imperial history, games featuring corpses and blood of any color are all no-nos. Even changing the color of the blood to green and calling it slime or clear and making it sweat isn't going to cut it anymore. These new rules come into play alongside existing regulations that ban pornography.
Hell, that means they won't even allow the SNES version of the original Mortal Kombat. Or Debbie Does Dubuque.
Other initiatives include requesting publishers to change how their titles promote Chinese values and culture so that if they become popular around the world, they'll portray the country in a favorable light.
I think this also means no Winnie the Pooh games, but do you see why we are against a state-run media? Because this is what happens when you have a state-run media.
The new regulations also require developers and publishers to divulge more information about a given title, including detailed scripts, screenshots, what features are going to be included to help curb gameplay addiction and overspending by the country's younger population, because gaming addiction has been a big thing in China. First addressed in 2007, regulations got put into place for PC games, which have now been expanded for mobile gaming as well. And so you might say censorship, and that's never a thing you want to endorse, but that's not going to stop developers who want a piece of China's estimated $30 billion in annual video game sales, which they'll likely raise in 2019 now that the approval freeze is over. The Chinese government could start throwing its weight around, and it will undoubtedly have an effect on the kinds of games that flood each app store throughout the year. At least it might cut down on the insane number of those damn poker games to choose from.
Especially the sweaty ones.
So, sorry, China gamers. We will be playing Mortal Kombat 11, but we hope you enjoy the new Hello Kitty Island adventure!
Hello Kitty. Fatality.
Popular language learning app Duolingo wants you to be fully into Game of Thrones Season 8 by releasing an updated version of its High Valyrian course, making it easier for fans to learn one of the oldest languages of Westeros with minimal time commitment.
Arya Costigan Gasamorgan scores 0 once!
That's true. Winterfell does have the best chimichangas. High Valyrian was first added to Duolingo in 2017, but the new version fleshes out the course with expanded vocabulary, updated lessons, and even fully voiced recordings and pronunciations. The course was created by linguist David J. Peterson, who also developed High Valyrian into a full language for the Game of Thrones TV show. Peterson also contributed all the recorded voice clips for the Duolingo course, so you can be confident everything is being pronounced correctly.
Nika Yaljiris Siri!
No, the zoo is closed, so you can't see the giraffes, buddy. I'm sorry. To begin learning High Valyrian with Duolingo, just install and open the Duolingo app, whether it's Android, iOS, or Windows, or Mac. Tap the course flag in the upper left, then tap Add. Scroll down to the bottom of the list and tap High Valyrian. After the course introduction, you'll start in on your first lesson. Tap the speaker icon while in lessons to hear the words and phrases spoken aloud. The new version of the course includes 38 modules, each containing various bite-sized lessons covering all manner of grammatically and vocabulary topics. Anyone who has previously started the course will automatically receive the new course material.
Nike Banyid Sit Teacher!
I too enjoy the sunsets in Costa Rica. Like any other Duolingo course, the High Valyrian lessons are meant to be completed quickly, so you only need to spend a few minutes a day to make progress learning the Targaryen tongue. Once you've mastered High Valyrian, you could move into one of Duolingo's 33 other languages, including Klingon, or Norwegian, for those who want to further add to their fantasy language repertoire. Personally, I'm holding out hope that we'll get a Sindarin course one day, and since, of course, I'm always looking to expand my Shatner impression, maybe they can add Esperanto, Spaco, La Fino Land Limo.
Spatulas are not a source of fiber.
Once you have passed your course right there, though, you need to get yourself to a Detroit bakery, walk up to their counter and say, Tepagan Isa Cezaldris Cake!
Wait, there's cake?
A Metro Detroit bakery has become a tourist attraction for its Game of Thrones-themed cakes that have people asking if they can even be eaten.
Or if the cake will eat them.
It's not the cake!
The home bakery in Rochester crafts works of art based on the popular show, which is in its last season, are just amazing. The dragon cake alone is astounding. The ice dragon cake, the ice king cake, took more than 250 hours of labor to make. It's made with more than 100 pounds of marshmallow coating and more than 160 coats of buttercream frosting. The masterpiece sits in the bakery's front window.
Bet it's not as cool as Carla's cakes.
You're damn right. So now, we can all sleep well at night since we know GLaDOS was wrong.
Say cake ixos de anakir pitir!
GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com.
Look, and we know Carla has very tasty, lovely cakes.
Yeah, like her toppings and her blood, sweat, and and that cake. Let me tell you.
Mounds of sweet frost.
And yes, for those of you that can actually speak High Valyrian, I was not using Duolingo, so everything that I said wrong, why don't you write and tell me about it? Correct me, please. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or since you're so damn good at it, why don't you speak it into a phone type of thing so we can play it for the world to hear? All you got to do is dial the number.
510-GRD-CREW.
Right?
My translations were on point, though.
Yeah, man. I worked very hard on those. You have no idea. The blood, the sweat, whatever. Anyway, come check us things out, and we'll see you the next time we do. That's just how stuff goes.
Funny. I detect no source of amusement.
The world is not in your books and maps. It's out there.
Chet from Mesquite on the line. Yeah, Chet.
So now everyone in the country can hear you, big mouth flap.
Oh, Chet, so nice to hear from you again. Shouldn't you be out burning crosses or molesting children or something?
I'd much rather be talking to you.
How about training pit bulls?
Think you're so smart. You get the package I sent down to the station?
Package?
You got it. I know you did.
Well, you sent me a present, Chet?
See, I couldn't decide whether to use a timer or not. Guess you'll just have to find that out when you open it.
Wait a minute, hold on. You're telling me you sent me a bomb in the mail?
Wrapped in brown paper. See, I know you're looking at it right now. Yeah, you just take some C4, roll it in a pile of nuts and bolts, and it pebbles. It does the job.
Sounds interesting, Chet. I didn't receive your package. You sure you sent it to the right address?
You got it. See, if I were you, I'd have my pretty assistant give the police a call. Take the bomb squad about 10 minutes to get down
bomb
there.
Bomb squad? Why should I call a bomb squad, Chet? Because some pinheaded redneck moron calls me up and tells me there's a bomb in my mail?
He who laughs last.
Yeah,
laughs.
Oh, shut up.